That's also true. And after he goes and sits down. Okay. All right, next question. Why do you stand for the prayers? Or the follow-up question, why do some people kneel for some prayers? Okay. As evangelicals, we model everything that we do based on what we see in Scripture, right? Okay. Easy enough. Almost every time we see the saints in heaven, they are standing before the throne. We've kind of covered this already. Two other passages are even more definitive. Jesus says in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and I've edited this and cut out some of the things that aren't quite relevant. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. What he said isn't really relevant. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyebrows to heaven, but beat his breast and said things that are not necessarily relevant right now. Because what is relevant is that both men went into the temple and prayed standing. Okay? The good guy, the bad guy, the one was justified, the one that wasn't justified, the normative behavior in worship and prayer, whether you were doing it right, whether you're doing it wrong, these guys went into the temple and they prayed standing. Hop back for just a second. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus. The tax collector, standing afar off, he wouldn't go up very close, but nevertheless, he stood. Okay? Both these guys stood before the Lord when they prayed. Okay? Go ahead and go to the next slide. Even the more definitive one. Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Then your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Okay. Whenever you stand praying. Okay. So, why do we tell you that you ought to stand when you pray? Well, because Scripture kind of suggests that. Pretty definitively. Now, is standing the only biblical posture to pray? No, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. You can also kneel. There we go. Anyway. Okay. King Solomon knelt down and prayed before the altar at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8:58. Peter knelt down and prayed before he raised Tabitha from the dead, Acts 9:40. And Paul knelt down and prayed before bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders. Okay, so obviously that's okay. Most importantly, after Jesus and the apostles had finished the Last Supper, they left Jerusalem and entered the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed. Okay, so clearly, thumbs up on kneeling to pray. All right, so, what's the difference? There are some who hit their knees every time they hear the words, let us pray. I remember being in seminary, and literally every time somebody said, let us pray, there was a guy who just dropped like a rock. Every time. There are some who kneel during the entire Eucharistic prayer. And we are all supposed to kneel during the confession and receive the blessing at the end of the service. Why? Okay, why? Well, kneeling is a posture of submission and supplication. That's asking for things. It's a position you take when you're saying you're sorry or asking to receive something in particular. Okay? So, that's why we kneel for confession and for ordinations or to receive communion. It's about acknowledging a relationship between God and us. Okay? When you are in confession, you're kneeling down and saying, I have screwed up, I am wrong, and I'm sorry. You're not being proud. You're not being arrogant. You're not being boastful. You're saying on your knees before somebody who is superior to you, I'm wrong. In ordinations, we do this because we're standing in front of somebody, Actually, we're kneeling before somebody. Actually, we lay out face down in front of them. We lay out, I have to get this word right, prostrate. We lay out prostrate in front of them. We've all done it. All the priests have done it. You just lay out face down in front of the bishop while they pray over you. And then you get up and you kneel in front of this guy while all these people talk about you and pray over you, and everyone comes and lays hands over you. All right? And you vow to obey this person, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with them or not, whether you think they're right or not. It's very unpleasant. Okay? Because this is a person who has authority over you, and you are submitting yourself to them. Or you are going to them and receiving something from them, like in communion. Okay? You are saying, you have something I want, may I have it, please? Like a blessing, like the body and blood of Jesus. Now, do you have to do any of this? Hold on there, don't go to the next slide just yet. Do you have to do any of this? No. No. Okay? If you are physically unable to do so, if you have bad knees, bad back, no knees, whatever, okay, is this the end of the world? Are you not able to worship the Lord because of this? No. No. God wants the best you have to offer. If the best you have to offer is a lousy voice and no feet, then you wheel yourself on in here and hum the best you can. Okay? But it's about a relationship. So, let's look at the next slide. A word about legalism. Okay? In certain circles, the nastiest insult you can throw at them is to call them a legalist, or worse yet, the P word. You Pharisee. Okay? Some Christians accuse liturgical Christians, excuse me, of being just that because of the rules in our worship. Okay? But it's not about the rules. Okay? A lot of people think it's about the rules because we have a lot of them. Okay? You're supposed to stand up here, you're supposed to sit down here, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. You should stand up here, sit down here. Okay? We have a lot of them. We have reasons for them. They come from Scripture. Some of them more important than others. But we have these rules, and people say, you're just being legalistic, and you're just being a Pharisaical, whatever, anti-Christian, whatever. I've had people call me this before. Okay? Look at the next slide. When my wife and I go on a date, we dress up. I find really good clothes, best I can. She puts on nice jewelry. Okay? Now, we don't have to do that. Yeah, doesn't necessarily wear the best clothes. Anyway. Puts on makeup, eyeliner, mascara, things I know nothing about. Well, there was that one time in college. We don't talk about it anymore. Christ killed the old man. Amen. She straightens her hair, which I thought was pretty straight to begin with. Never mind that. You know, we get dolled up. We dress up. We get fancy. We go to a nice restaurant. Does any part of our relationship depend on that? Absolutely not. Why do we bother? Because we care about each other. Because we want to show our affection for each other. Because we want each other to know that we value each other and we are special to each other. So we give each other our best. We take some time out of our day and do something that's above and beyond the normal. Right? We, like I say here, not one iota that is essential to our relationship, which is built on love. However, those acts of going above and beyond to please one another reinforce the value of the relationship. Okay? we do this not because, you know, if she doesn't put on earrings or a necklace, I'm not going to pick up the bill. Okay? We do this because we want to show each other that we care. We want to look nice for each other. We want the night to be special. So we go above and beyond. Is it essential? Is it necessary? No. Is it something to say, hey, you mean a lot to me? Yes. Is that special? Yes. There was a book that was, I don't quite know when it came out, but it was being passed around when Liz and I were first married, called The Languages of Love. Okay? And it talked about the different styles or different, they call it languages of love, that people use to express their affection for each other. And one of them is gifts, one of them is quality time, one of them is acts of service, and one of them is touch, you know, and then I don't necessarily know what all the others. I think those were the four or five. Words of affirmation, okay? Words of affirmation. So those are the five, okay? And I have this theory that people worship God in the same ways that they show affection and they show love for each other, okay? And so there are people who, you know, they may not drop large amounts of money on church, but they do these acts of service, okay? And people who have different love languages, they have a hard time interacting with people who have different love languages because they don't speak of the same language, okay? And there are people who, you know, they, praise and worship may not really light them up, but doing this kind of worship where they go through the bow down, the kneel down, the stand up, the you're doing this kind of stuff, that for them is an act of service that means a great deal to them, and that is how they show their love. Because this is how I show my affection. This is how I show that my God means something to me. Okay? Is it uncomfortable to kneel on a hard concrete floor? Yeah. Was it uncomfortable for God to hang on the cross? Yeah, way more uncomfortable than kneeling on the floor for, you know, 5-10 minutes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Do we have to do it? No. Is it probably a good idea to do so? Yes. Why? Because it reinforces the value of the relationship. One other thing, okay? When I got to a point where I decided that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with my wife, I had something very small that I wanted to give her, okay? And in return for that, I wanted the rest of her life. Did I need to get down on my knees to ask her for that? No, not really. I know there are lots of people who didn't, okay? But I did, because I was asking something very important. I had an itty-bitty ring, and I wanted the rest of her life. It was a really important question. Now, every Sunday, I come to this altar, and I have something that's really small and insignificant, and that is my sinfulness. And I want in return for that all of God's majesty. Do I need to get down on my knees? No. No, I don't. But should I reinforce the value of that relationship? Yeah, it's a good thing to do. Do I have to? Is it necessary for my salvation? Not in the least. But is it good for my soul? Oh, yes. Yes, I think it is. I think there's a lot of things that we don't have to do that people dismiss and wave off as going, oh, that's just legalism. It's not legalism. It's about showing God, not just with our words or with our time, but with our bodies, that we know where we stand with him, and we want to honor him in what we do. Okay? Now, God knows that in so many other things, I don't honor him with what I do. God forbid that anybody think that I'm like, oh, I'm honoring God in everything that I do. We try. A little penance every now and then is good for the soul. So, as we move forward, as people ask us questions, why do you do this? We've got to get away from, well, because that's what we do. Because that's the worst answer we could possibly give. Because this little booklet tells us to. Because we've always done it that way. That's the next worst answer. Okay? Why do we do this? Because I love my God. Because I want to honor him. Because the Bible says so. Because I love Scripture. Because the only book that matters, the only rule book that's worth ever looking at, which is this one, says so. Amen.